Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast, number 986, our topic is training, and the title is Common Training Splits for All Goals. So, we had a listener send in a question, which is awesome, and I thank you all the time for that. I really appreciate it. It's fun to know people are listening. It's fun to know people are caring and that there's some value to me doing this every day. So thank you so much. We're going to read through that in a second, like what the person asked. But what I want to encourage you is we're going to go through a lot of information today. And if you have any trouble with this topic or this information, it would probably be a good idea to have a pen and paper, you know, ready so we can kind of pause the podcast and write some things down. You can always email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com, and I can send you the outline that I use to kind of talk through the podcast. It does not have, you know, verbatim everything I'll say, but it has the categories written in, and, you know, that's some ways in which can kind of give you reminders of what was talked about or give you a brief outline to kind of fill in. So if you have any questions after the podcast, just reach out to us at brutalirongym@gmail.com. Okay, so the person wrote in, had a question for you. Not sure if it's been covered in your podcast. Congrats on approaching 1,000. So yes, we are almost at 1,000 podcasts. That's insane that I've done this 1,000 times. It's pretty cool. So I'm trying to design a workout plan for myself. I know what exercises I want to do. I know how much I want to do. The part I can't figure out, and honestly gives me anxiety, is how to split them up. I'm designing the plan to increase my athletic performance in rugby. Every program I've ever ran in the past that wasn't my own utilized different methods, but none did the typical bodybuilding split. And that would be like chest on Monday, you know, back on Tuesday, legs on Wednesday, shoulders on Thursday, arms on Friday kind of stuff. I'm just wondering, for sport performance, is there any better practice for exercise setup? Example, push-pull, leg day only, etc. So that's their kind of question. So we're going to go through this. Now, they asked specifically about sport performance, but I thought this was a cool enough topic that we could kind of cover a whole bunch of goals. So we're going to cover fat loss, bodybuilding, powerlifting, strongman, and sport athletes, and talk about how we'd suggest breaking them, kind of the weekly splits up. How you should train kind of each individual workout. What should be the focus of each individual workout? So, the examples I'm going to give are actually finite. I'm trying to only give one or two examples per category because I want to give you confidence on a place to start with. If I were to give you every possible way to do this, it would be ridiculously overwhelming, and it would be almost like confusion because there were so many possibilities you wouldn't know which one was right for you. So what I'm trying to do today is giving you a good place to start. This is not an exhausted list by any means whatsoever. I mean, I can make multiple 30-minute podcasts on simply how to break down weekly splits of like athletes. So this is just trying to give you something to give confidence with, something to start with, some ways in which I do it that I have had success. Now, first one we're going to talk about is fat loss, and this is a method I've used for literally thousands of people. So I've been a personal trainer for 19 years. I've worked with well over 2,500 clients in person and had over 500 students that I took through like kind of a weight training course where we learned about how to write programming for weight loss and programming for muscle building. So this is something I've used literally thousands of times. Literally. So typically when people say literally, they don't mean literally, but I literally mean literally. Okay. So it's a full body split. You should train your whole damn body every time you train. There's a lot of reasons for it. Number one is if you're doing fat loss training, you're probably not going to be lifting super heavy. And if your focus is fat loss, this is just categorically true, or I guess like stereotypically true, is you probably don't have a huge history of lifting weights anyhow, meaning that you're not going to be a super strong person. Now, could I be wrong in individual cases? Hell yeah. I mean, there are super strong people who want to lose fat. I'm not saying that's a bad thing or like that's not appropriate or not real. It's just most people looking for fat loss are also probably going to be relatively new to lifting and or they're going to be relatively weak. If somebody wants to lose fat and they have a history of lifting weights, they're probably a powerlifter trying to lose fat while doing powerlifting. Or a strongman athlete trying to lose fat while doing strongman. You know, so they're probably under a different category than simply training only for fat loss. So they would be training within their sport capacity and dieting appropriately for fat loss. They wouldn't be training specifically only for fat loss in most cases. Now, again, I know I'm having to kind of do everything as general, so give me some leeway here. If this isn't individually specifically true, of course not. So since typically when you train for fat loss, you're not going to be doing like one rep maxes or even three rep maxes or even five rep maxes. So nothing you do is actually usually super heavy. Therefore, it's not contributing to a lot of or really any significant connective tissue damage. The reason why that's significant is your recovery rate between workouts is faster than kind of heavier aggressive training. Therefore, you don't need as much recovery time between specific muscles being repeated. So what this means is if I train my chest on Monday, if I were to spend a whole hour doing my chest on Monday, well then yeah, I'm not going to be ready to train my chest on Tuesday. But I just wasted the whole day only training my chest when I could have been training more body parts, burning more calories, accumulating more muscle damage, which equates to more fat loss. So the idea of training for fat loss is to burn a lot of calories while you're doing what you're doing, but more importantly is to create a lot of muscle tissue damage spread out over the entire body. The reason why that's important is the more muscle damage you have, the more calories your body is burning to repair and recover from that damage. So if I can damage, 15 muscles, that's more productive for me to lose fat than to damage one muscle intensely. I'd rather beat up the whole body to a smaller degree per individual category because I can recover faster. Since each thing wasn't driven like deeper and deeper into damage, I can recover quicker in between workouts. So therefore, I can maintain more muscular stress and damage in between workouts over the long term. So I can sustain a higher degree of always damaged tissue that my body is always trying to work and repair. Hopefully that made somewhat sense. But the idea is, if you're training for fat loss, you're not lifting super heavy, you're not going to cause a lot of damage to the body, and the more muscle damage you have present, the more fat loss you will achieve. So full body workouts are best. In the workouts, you want to start with your weak points first. So if you have specific areas of your body that you're physically weak with, or aesthetically they're behind other areas, you want to focus on those first in the workout. You want to give them your best effort, your best attention. Typically, people wait to the end of the workout to try to do the things they don't want to do, and it gets half-assed effort, or, oh, whoa, no, what do you know? I ran out of time. Darn, geez a whiz, can't do my abs. Darn. So, do your abs first. Do the things you hate first. Get those out of the way, okay? So that way you won't hate them forever because you're giving them good effort and they're going to eventually become stronger things or better things, things you won't hate so much. The more you avoid it, the more you'll hate it forever and ever and ever because it'll always be the weak area. If you just buckle down and attack it, it won't be weak forever and you then eventually don't have to feel miserable forever, okay? So, I do prefer that people do full body workouts, but you can kind of have like an upper body main focus and a lower body main focus if you train three or more workouts per week. So say I train Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and my lower body is my main concern, my main focus. I'm going to train the full body Monday, Wednesday, Friday, but I might do say 40 minutes worth of legs on Monday and Friday and only 20 minutes of upper body on Monday and Friday. Whereas on Wednesday, maybe I'll do 40 minutes of upper body and 20 minutes of legs. And now it doesn't have to split it up by time. You can also split it up by compound movements, like the weight capacity of movements. So, for example, a leg press done for maximal efforts creates more muscle damage than walking lunges does. So I might have heavier, more aggressive movements on Monday and Friday, and then lighter-based movements on Wednesday. So you don't have to split it up by time. You can split it up by exercise selection, or you can split it up by both or neither. So, but there are some variations within a full body focus. Everything doesn't have to be done equally. You can kind of modify and skew it to one focus versus another. So a real quick example of how you can like create your workout is, if you're doing a full body workout, is do a kind of a circuit, which is like a two exercises back to back, of some type of hip hinge and then some type of knee bend. And what this is typically hip hinges are like stiff leg deadlifts, Romanian deadlifts, whether it's two leg, single leg, barbell, dumbbell, whether you're doing them on some type of machine or free weights, things like that. That can even count as a conventional deadlift. Then a knee bend are things in which kind of the bend of the knee becomes the most difficult, like the extension of the leg rather than the extension of the hip. So this is a leg extension, and that would be like step-ups, lunges, more so kind of squats, especially if it's a high bar squat. But you would typically put together something that's difficult at hip extension paired with something that's difficult at knee extension or leg extension. So, again, another example could be dumbbell RDLs and like goblet hold alternating reverse lunges. So something like that. So you want to have that kind of paired together. So two lower body movements paired together. Then you're going to pair together upper body movements, a push and a pull. So something that pushes something away from you, whether it's pushing it from your chest out or your chest, like shoulders overhead. And then pair that with something that's a pull, which is either pulling something from in front of you towards you, which is like a row, or pulling something overhead down to you, which is a pull up or pull down. So that's typically be your two main kind of exercise groups. Is number one is two lower body movements. Number two is going to be two upper body movements. Now, you can include core work kind of mixed in with like specific exercise selections, or you can kind of do core work separate. And if I do core work, like abdominal training separate, I'm usually going to do it at the beginning with some type of like movement prep work, something that kind of warms me up and prepares me for the workout. So example is, if we kind of think of that mobility warm-up, kind of movement preparation, my beginning part of the workout, the circuit, might be scapular retractions from elbows. If you don't know what any of these things are, just YouTube them. So you can do scapular retractions from elbows paired with dead bug variations. Awesome way to work on scapular mobility, which is like kind of upper body postural work. The scapular retraction from elbow position also factors in a plank, which is kind of like core tightness, glute tightness, hip awareness. Then a dead bug variation helps you work on core bracing and stability, which then carries over to the rest of the movements for the workout. So for these, you might end up doing three sets somewhere between 10 to 30 seconds of time under tension. So you'd do it, you know, in a variation that felt very difficult, but you could do at least 10 seconds, but you can't really do more than 30 seconds well because it starts to get too dang hard. Then after the scap retractions from elbow and dead bugs, you can go into dumbbell RDLs and dumbbell goblet hold alternating reverse lunges. And again, three sets, but you might do, say, 20 to 40 seconds of time under tension. 20 is more so like in regards to heavy work to create muscle damage. 40 is more so lighter work to create muscle damage, but they're both going to create muscle damage, and both of them done back-to-back is very good for muscular endurance and cardiovascular endurance. Then, after that, you might go into dumbbell standing overhead press, making sure you're, you know, doing the dead bug concept of holding the P, pulling the belly button in. You're going to squeeze your glutes, really make sure your hip and core are braced well. So that's awesome for just general health purposes and knowing how to do that and the ability to stay braced when we're doing things outside of the gym. But you can do dumbbell standing overhead presses into dumbbell dual bent over rows. Again, three sets, 20 to 40 seconds of time or attention. So that's an example of a workout we would do for fat loss. Is you would do full body. You would start with some type of movement, just kind of get you warmed up for the workout. And I would typically pair with that, like we said, abs or core work. So sometimes the core work, some type of like getting the body moving around, some type of stretching, something like that. Then you want to go into a superset of lower body movements. One is a hip extension focus. The other one is a leg extension focus. Then you want to go into a superset of push and pull, something for the upper body that pushes something away from you and something for the upper body that pulls something towards you. Awesome. So that's it. Pretty easy. Then you just do that as many days of the week as you can. Okay? So, now if we go into bodybuilding, I have worked with people and helped them earn professional cards, like pro cards, in both tested and non-tested organizations. I've done that with males and females, and I've worked with people in every single category. We've used the two structures I'm about to provide. This is the only category that has two structures, by the way, because bodybuilders, aren't you all fancy? So, there are two structures that I've used successfully for people to take them from, you know, never competed before to having a pro card. So I promise it works. So one method is to use upper body, lower body split, where you simply just alternate between upper body and lower body workouts. This is better if somebody's kind of weaker lifter. They're not very strong compared to their body size, and or they're kind of a beginner to lifting. And the reason why is because they don't need as much isolative focus since they're relatively new and or since they're weak. So, for example, if they're weak, I don't need to be doing, you know, dumbbell skull crushers. What the hell is the point of that if they can only do it with, like, 10-pound dumbbells? They need to be doing chest presses and a million of them. So if somebody's weaker, you don't need as much isolative work. Therefore, the workouts can be quicker. You don't need as many individual movements. So therefore, you can repeat body parts faster throughout the week. And since you can't lift as heavy, they don't need as much recovery time between repeating body parts. So upper body, lower body splits is perfect for beginners and or kind of like weaker lifters. If you're a bodybuilder and you're stronger, you're kind of an intermediate level, push-pull legs is a great system. There's a million ones, other ones out there, but push-pull legs works really well. It allows for more isolated focus, it allows for more recovery time, but it doesn't stretch your workouts out to where you're only training a muscle once a week, which means you're falling behind. You absolutely do not need to give a single muscle group an entire freaking week to recover. Unnecessary. Ridiculously unnecessary. So, again, you would always have your weak points first in the workout. Don't run away from the stuff that makes you kind of like hate yourself. So, fix the things that you need fixed as fast as possible. So, upper body, lower body, example split. For example, if you're looking at, say, like 5 workouts a week, is workout 1 would be like a squat focus, like lower body workout. So, you would include abs and calves. Because it's just easy to do so. So you include abs and calves. That can be at the beginning of the workout or the end of the workout, depending on if you think they're strengths or weaknesses. If they're weaknesses, put them at the first. Then you do like a squat focus, which is going to be more so commonly like a quadricep focus or a leg extension focus. But you're going to do multiple movements. You're going to do a couple isolation movements, couple compound movements. But it's going to mostly be like squat focused and then anything that builds your squat. Workout 2 is going to be a chest press focus, and this is going to be for upper body. And you're going to look for things in kind of the sagittal plane, which are like kind of like horizontal movements, like combinations of like chest presses, chest flies, and back rows. So you're going to focus more on like chest presses than overhead presses, for example. More on back rows rather than like pull-ups and pull-downs. Now, can you blend all that stuff together? Sure, you can. But I like separating them because it helps you get a little deeper focus into each individual pathway. It allows you to just kind of get a deeper dive into each area, and you can accumulate more damage over the course of a week when you separate them out. So it's going to be chest press focus with upper body. So for example, you might come in, kind of do, you know, maybe chest flies, reverse flies, kind of warm up the shoulders, get your mind muscle connection started with the chest. You're going to go into dumbbell chest presses, working up to some heavy sets, and then do some back down volume sets. Then maybe you go, you can do Arnold split, like we do push, then pull, then push, then pull. So for example, after dumbbell presses, you can go into maybe dumbbell rows or even cable rows or even chest supported rows. Then you go back to some type of chest exercise, maybe dumbbell flies, and then you finish with some reverse flies for the back or one of the other movements I mentioned. But the idea is it's upper body, but the chest press is the main focus. Now, you could do 2 or 3 chest movements in a row, then 2 or 3 back movements in a row, sure. You don't have to go from, you know, chest to back. You can just kind of keep in one thing. It's up to you. but that's the focus of that day. Workout number three is going to be deadlift focus with lower body movement. Again, kind of including your abs and calves. And this is going to be more of a hip extension, like hip hinge focus day, as compared to a leg extension focus day, which was workout number one. So again, you just got some kind of warm-up, some type of heavy deadlift focus movement, which can be a traditional barbell deadlift. It can also just be barbell RDLs, stiff leg deadlifts, dumbbell RDLs, dumbbell stiff leg deadlifts, just anything like that. Then you want to, you'd still focus in some major movements like leg press variations, hack squat variations, maybe walking lunges variations, you know, things like that. Then workout four is going to go back to upper body, but this time it's an overhead focus, and you're going to be focusing in the transverse plane kind of vertical movements, which is like overhead presses and overhead pull-ups and pull-downs. So again, you can kind of do, you know, overhead press, go to a back pull-down. You can go, you know, like kind of shoulder, like a press, pull, or you can do press, pull, however you want to do it within there. Then workout five is weak point focus. So this is when if somebody really wants to hyper focus on like arm development, that would be a great place to put it in. But in general, remember the upper body, lower body splits were done for weaker lifters. They don't need to isolate their arms because they can't do a lot of heavy weight. So they're going to be getting better arm growth by doing just really heavy ass chest presses and back rows. That's going to be the best way for them to build their arms. So that's why we have workout five at the end of the week, we allow them to hyper focus on their arms if they'd like to, because at that point they're so beat up and so tired, they're carrying a lot of muscle damage into the workout. So even if their strength level isn't high enough to create a lot of muscle damage, they actually have already a lot present by the time they get there, so it actually makes that workout even more effective. Now, like we said, if you're an intermediate or a stronger lifter, push-pull legs is going to be a better split for you. So for example, workout one would be a push focus. You're going to focus on chest, shoulders, and triceps. Workout number two is going to be pull focus, back, biceps, and abs. Workout number three is a legs focus. So you're going to do maybe a squat focus, the rest of your thighs, and then add in some calf work as well. Now, on workout number three, when you repeat that, instead of a squat focus, maybe you'll do a deadlift focus. So again, we talked about like hip hinge, hip extension versus knee extension. So every time you repeat the workouts, you can kind of change up the movements, change up the focus. So maybe at workout one, when you repeat it the second time, instead of chest being the bigger focus over shoulders, maybe at workout four, which is a repeat of chest workout number one, you're going to do overhead presses before you do your chest presses. So you can kind of flip-flop and reorganize this depending on which body parts you want to focus on more so on each day. But that would be the general kind of focal points or the categorical inclusions. Is workout one, your push workout is going to be chest, shoulders, triceps. Then when you repeat that as workout four, like we said, maybe we'll do shoulders, chest, and triceps. Maybe workout seven, you're like, you know what? I really haven't given my triceps, you know, big blast. So I'm going to do those first. I'm going to do triceps first. Then I'll do a lot of chest flies since my triceps are already tired. And then I'll do a lot of raises, dumbbell raises, rather than overhead presses since my triceps are already tired. So you can really like kind of structure this in a lot of really fun ways to where you can have easily 9, 12, 15 workouts cycled through that never singularly repeat. So it's a lot of fun, a lot of variety. It looks like it might be kind of enclosed, saying, oh, it's only push-pull legs, but there's a billion ways to do that. It's actually really fun creating variations within a structure. So creativity often is best expressed when there is some framework that you have to stay within. So some guidelines for that creativity, and then it's how do you meet those guidelines. So don't be afraid of having a structure, a general concept structure, and then being having fun within that, okay? So then what you would do is workouts 1, 2, 3, like we said, you just kind of repeat back through the workouts, change up the movements, change up the focal points. You want to rotate through the order of the workouts regardless of the number of workouts per week. So say you work out 5 times a week. You're going to do week one is push, pull, legs, push, pull. Then week number two, you're going to start where you left off. You're going to do legs first. So it'll be legs, push, pull, legs, push. Then the next week, week number three, you're going to start where you left off. Start at pull. So it's pull, legs, push, pull, legs. So you just start back up wherever you left off each week. Again, These are structures I've used to help people earn pro cards and tested in non-tested organizations, males and females, every single category. So I promise you this is an awesome way to split it up. Really what it comes down to is if you have a split that is proven to create kind of balance, it's then up to you to work your ass off to make it work. So these two splits have balance within them. You won't be missing body parts. You won't be, like, you know, kind of haphazardly bouncing around. It gives you a structure. And then just work your ass off within that structure. Now, powerlifters, you're going to do an upper body, lower body split. Now, I've used this to help people earn elite totals in powerlifting, have top 50 national totals. I've helped people break over 100 state records. And all of that has been done in both tested and non-tested. So whether you use drugs or don't use drugs, these structures work. And that's for all categories we've talked about, like fat loss, bodybuilding, powerlifting, strongman, athletes. So drugs don't matter. You can work within this split. Now, how much the person does, volume, volume-wise, intensity-wise, that does change up a little bit. So we'll save that for a different podcast. So again, powerlifters, you want to work on your weak points first in the workouts. So example is just traditional kind of powerlifting workouts is upper body, lower body splits. So workout one, you're going to squat, and then you're going to do squat accessory movements. Now you can include some deadlift variation in there if you want for technique practice, but it's mostly squat work. Workout number two is bench press work. You're going to include some upper back for damn sure, because your upper back needs to be involved in that, and getting your upper back pumped up helps your bench press. So you're going to focus on bench press assistance movements, a lot of upper back work. Workout number three is deadlifts with lower body workout, kind of deadlift assistance movements. And that is when you include like abs and calves. You can include some kind of squat variation if you want to work on practicing like technique of squats. But workout number three is deadlift focus with a lot of lower body assistance movements. Workout four is going to be overhead press focus or a secondary bench day. But it is your other upper body day. So again, you can do some overhead work, you can do secondary bench work, make sure you're alternating between your back rows, pull-ups, pull-downs, getting all the angles you can. And then if you're going to do another workout on top of that, say a fifth workout of the week, I'd recommend doing kind of blood flow restoration work, where you're doing light weights, high repetitions, getting a lot of blood to go through the joints, and that helps just kind of stave off injuries, helps repair connective tissues, lots of benefit within there. So you might just do like, you know, some chest flies for a couple sets of 20 to 30 reps, do some dumbbell rows for 20 to 30 reps, or cable rows 20 to 30 reps. You can do, you know, tricep press downs with a rope grip for 20, 30 reps. I've even done leg extensions, leg curls, adductors, abductors, all that for sets of 50. So it's just really getting high blood flow through the joints and connective tissues. Okay. So powerlifters, that's basically a traditional like format, but it works. You don't need to be doing squat, bench, and deadlift every damn day. Good Lord, it's such an inefficient way to do it, because you can't get as much work done because you're always pissing around, switching over this thing to that thing and that thing to this thing, and you're spending so much time transitioning when you could actually be just doing freaking work. And you don't need to only practice a lift and not get any physical adaptation from it. So too often if people are squat, benching, and deadlifting, if they're benching four times a week, you one of those times, easily at least, is sub-maximal just technique work. That's a complete freaking waste of time because you're not getting any physical development. So how do we get stronger in our lifts? Is we have technique improvement, we have physical strength increase, and then we have mental strength increase. So I just get mentally more aggressive to use heavier weights. Or I get mentally more in control of how to remember my techniques. But if I'm just doing the bench press to only work on technique, but it's such a stupidly light percentage that I'm not getting any physical adaptation from it, you're wasting time. It's an absolute asinine way to do it. It's so stupid. So doing it this way that I explained is so much better because you're getting technique improvement and physical improvement and mindset improvement every single freaking workout. And like I said, I've helped people earn elite totals, top 50 national totals, break over 100 state records doing this. It works. It works. It works. Okay? So that's going to be a great split for you to start with. And that's definitely, definitely, definitely where I'd recommend powerlifters to be program-wise. Now, we're getting a little bit long, but I hope you can listen in for the last two. The next one is strongman. So we want to do full body workouts, but you're going to kind of alternate between what your kind of compound focus is and your isolation kind of focus. Now, I've used this for nationally competitive strongman competitors. So they've competed very well locally and gone to national level competitions and done well. So, again, weak points always first in the workout. I'm repeating that every single time because it's so damn important. So you always want to work on your weakest stuff first. Now, an example of what I mean by kind of full body compound with rotating isolations is you're going to have a big compound movement that's going to be lower body or upper body focused. You're then going to do kind of assistance movements, maybe one or two, that relate to that. And then you're going to do very lightly weighted, kind of more mobility-based movements for the rest of the body. So an example for workout number one is you're going to have some kind of heavy squat compound movement, some type of hinge assistance, and then some type of upper body work. So you might do camber bar touch stop like squats. So the camber bar, you have safety spotter's arms set up in your squat rack. You go down to the bottom of the squat, the camber bar touches the rails, and then you have to drive back up. That's a strongman style kind of squat. So it's like box squats, but the bar's getting stopped rather than your own fat ass. So camber bar touch stop squats are great. You would pair that, then go into like barbell RDLs, and then maybe you'll finish up with some kind of like assisted pull-ups and push-ups kind of sequence. So maybe you'll do, you know, like 20 pull-ups, 20 push-ups, 18 pull-ups, 18 push-ups, 16, 16, 14, 14, 12, 12, 10, 10. If you can't do that many, you can just do like 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, you know, kind of work your way down. But just some ways, like at the end of the body, you just throw in some upper body, at the end of the workout, you throw in some upper body work, but nothing super duper aggressive, nothing super heavy. The pull-ups are just helping to open up your lats. Push-ups just help get some blood flow through the chest, since strongmen don't typically focus on chest presses. It's a good way to just get some extra chest work in. So that's an example of one workout that you would use where your big heavy movement is lower body, then your kind of secondary smaller movement like upper body stuff is at the end. The converse of that would be done in workout number two, where you're going to have a big heavy overhead compound movement, do some accessory upper back work, and then your lower body workout kind of at the end, doing more mobility, body weight type stuff. So the example of that workout would be a log press. Then you go into like cable seated rows, and then maybe you'll do machine hamstring curls because usually everybody's hamstrings are weak, paired with walking lunges, which is just to help to work on like hamstring mobility, hip mobility, open up any kind of tight tissues in the hips so that way you're ready for workout number three. Workout number three is just repeating format of workout number one, but maybe instead of a squat, you're going to do a deadlift. That way, your then assistance work would be more so a leg extension rather than a hip extension because you just did a deadlift. But that's the idea of it is you're alternating upper body, lower body as the main focus, but you're also then having the other part of the body done at the end of the workout. So it's full body every time, but you're alternating what your most aggressive focus is, upper body, lower body, upper body, lower body. Now, what do you do for like events? If you're getting ready for competition, you have events coming up, you would make variations of those events be your compound major movements. So if you have, you know, a car deadlift coming up, if you have a way to simulate that in your gym, you would do, you know, maybe some high rep work at first for like a cycle. Then you get into like heavy singles with some medium volume. And then right before the competition, you work up to some heavy singles. So you can kind of sequence through that, but you can do variations of the competitive lifts, like the events that are coming up, as your main work of the workouts. So you don't have to have an entire day just for events. Typically, that's not really a good idea because there's a lot of tear up and set down. Set up and tear down in time invested, and you're just kind of wasting time. You're in the gym for like 2 hours, and you only did like 30 minutes worth of work. So doing it this way is much, much, much better because you get better bang for your buck for time usage. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Now, sport athletes. I apologize to the person who wanted this podcast because I just made you wait the entire damn time for your answer. So you just had to wait for 33 minutes and 33 seconds. But here it is. So sport athletes, you're going to follow the same concept as the strongman. You're going to do full body workouts, but what your main focus will be is whatever's most important for your sport. So I have used this format with professional baseball players and professional football players. So I've helped professional baseball pitchers, for example. And what I mean by what's specific to your sport is the specific intra-workout categories, the specific intra-workout focal points, depends on the athlete. I'm going to train a baseball pitcher a lot different than I would a defensive lineman in the NFL. Okay, kind of makes sense. There's going to be some similarities, sure, but there's going to be a lot more things that are different. So, for example, the baseball pitcher, we always had lower body first in every workout. But sometimes it was a heavy squat focus, sometimes it was a split squat, sometimes we do a heavy deadlift, sometimes it's just mobility work, and then all of a sudden we went into the bigger upper body work, and we would still do some bench pressing for them, even though pitchers, like, there's some, you know, there's some concern over maintaining full range of motion, so you do have to be careful with the upper body movements to make sure you always use good form, but why the hell would you not anyhow? So you can still have them do dumbbell presses, bench presses, dumbbell rows, variations and stuff like that. But we would always start with lower body first because it was more of a lower body sport, like a sport position. Whereas if you have a defensive lineman, you know, there's definitely validity for having really heavy upper body work in there. You might be doing some, you know, dumbbell one-arm incline presses as your main movement for one day because you want them to really, really work on that punch explosion, you know, so that way they can push away or slap away offensive linemen. But what you focus on each workout will be different per athlete and per sport, but each time it really should still be full body. And you'd have your big main movement at the beginning of the workout, and then whatever body part you didn't use yet gets kind of done as like a circuit at the end of the workout. So, for example, if I'm looking at like a lower body workout, I might do box jumps, some barbell parallel squats, some barbell RDLs to help bring up the hamstrings, maybe even split stance RDLs, maybe even single leg RDLs just to work on unilateral capacity, and then maybe at the end we do push-ups and pull-ups. That way it covers the upper body. Whereas conversely in workout two, maybe we do those dumbbell incline one-arm presses, just kind of really work on unilateral punching strength. You do dumbbell one-arm rows to kind of pair with that. And then maybe to finish up the workout, we do lateral jumps and weighted Kozak squats. So that way you kind of hit that lateral component. Again, it's unilateral work. And you're getting that heavy, light, light, heavy kind of sequence between the lower body and the upper body from workout to workout. So those are going to be your better structures where it's full body. You have your bigger movements. So if you know the movements you want to include in the week, rank them. If there's big, heavy compound movements, they probably should be the first, more main focus of each individual workout. And then you do your secondary work and your bodyweight-based work towards the end of those workouts. So maybe you want to include conventional deadlifts as a way to bring up strength of your lower body. That's definitely a big movement. One day should be dedicated to that. Maybe you have another day where you want to do really heavy, you know, clean and press. Maybe you don't want to put those in the same day. So if you rank your movements in like biggest to like heaviest, most demanding to lightest, and then see how many workouts you want to do per week. If you have four major movements that you know are big, aggressive movements, and you have four workouts, what do you know? One per workout. If you have five workouts and only three big movements, awesome. Then just sprinkle them in, spread the other stuff around it. If you only have three workouts, but you have five big movements, then out of the five big movements, you need to pay attention to which two are the least competing of each other and pair those together on the same day. But that's going to be your main focus on how you split this up, is it's full body movement, like full body workouts, with the biggest, most aggressive movement done at the beginning of the workout, medium to light movements done throughout the rest of the workout, and you're going to try to alternate upper body to lower body big compound movements from workout to workout. So I wouldn't want to have workouts 1 and 2 have back-to-back big aggressive upper body movements, and then workouts 3 and 4 have back-to-back big aggressive lower body movements. I'd rather alternate those. So lots and lots and lots and lots of information in this, but I think it's fun to see that there are small differences for sure depending on each individual goal of training. But on every single one, you always want to track your weak points first. You always want to kind of make sure you spread your work around from upper body to lower body. You want to always pay attention to what's my recovery need versus my strength levels. So there's definitely some similarities there. Now, if you have any questions and you want some specific help on how to best organize your workout structures. If this workout helped, but you still have some extra, this podcast helped, but you still have some extra questions, just email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com. Tell us what your goals are, tell us what your struggles are, and we'll help you out. So for the person who requested this podcast, hopefully this was helpful, and I will respond back with individual content to you. So thank you for reaching out. If anybody else ever has any questions or ever needs anything, always reach out to us. Our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. I promise I'm always happy to help. I will always get you a reply. Sometimes it does take me a week or two, but I will get back to everyone as much as I can for as long as I can while I'm doing this podcast. So we've been very blessed that the podcast has been growing. We're getting over 5,000 downloads a month now, which is pretty badass, and that does bring with it more emails, more interactions, but please, please, please don't ever stop doing that. It sincerely means a lot when I hear from everybody because it really motivates me to keep doing this. Just full transparency, I have a crazy schedule, and sometimes I'm doing these things at like 3 in the morning, without the motivation to do that, I'd probably just sleep. So please email me and let me know that you do find this helpful and that it's something that's worth me giving up an hour of sleep every now and then or worth trying to fit it into my schedule. But thank you, thank you, thank you, everybody, for listening. I truly appreciate your support. And again, if you ever need anything, just email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com. So if you like today's podcast, click like. If you think the podcast is helpful, please share the podcast. We want to continue to get this thing to grow. The more people we can reach, the more people we can help. So thank you, thank you, thank you to the people who share the podcast. It truly means a lot when I see that on social media. So thank you. Then if you want to find out more information from us, you can find us on our social media channels on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. If you have any questions, feedback, suggestions, if there's ever anything you need, email us. We're always here and we're always happy to help. Our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.